Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 235. And today we're talking about the fact that we've been prepared by prayer. Prepared by prayer. Now, this episode is going to take a bit of setting up, so let me explain. I've just stepped outside my house, walked round to the back of where we live to where the woods are, and I'm recording this on Monday evening, ready for the Thursday upload and distribution. And the reason I'm doing that is, well, firstly, I've been sitting down too much today. I needed to get out and walk around and stretch myself and get my aching knees to have a bit of exercise. But also because I'm going on holiday tomorrow, and so I won't be around on Thursday, but I wanted to record this before I left and upload it ready for Thursday, because it's been on my mind how God prepares us. The whole theme of how does God prepare us for the works of service that he's got in mind for us, those wonderful things he's got in mind for us. It talks about in Acts chapter 2, around verses, 8, 9, and 10. How does God prepare us? And this has been on my mind for lots of reasons, but partly because I felt inspired to speak on the operation of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, from Acts 2 to Acts 11 recently in a sermon, and it received unusual levels of positive affirmation and feedback, and it's made me think about other aspects of how God has prepared us. And so God prepared the early church by giving them the Spirit, but also how did Jesus prepare his followers for what was to come, for, in fact, the book of Acts, even though they didn't know that's what it was going to be. And it so happens that the Singapore church in our fellowships have asked me to speak in two Sundays' time, and I'm going to record a sermon for them to go out on the first Sunday of August. And that sermon is on John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And that's that last night that Jesus had with his followers, when he was preparing them, his final words of preparation before his death, to prepare them for his death and ultimately, of course, his burial, resurrection, and what was to come after his departure. And as I've been reflecting on those chapters, the significance of chapter 17 has stood out to me. So I'm going to be recording the sermon for the Singapore church soon, and also the same lesson for the Watford church this coming Sunday. But what about chapter 17 as well? I'm really jealous of the person who's going to preach on John 17 for the Singapore church, because I do love that chapter. Now, they haven't given it to me, but never mind. But it comes at the end of that evening that Jesus had with his disciples, getting them ready. Chapter 13, washing their feet, showing them that he is the servant Messiah and they are to be like that. Chapter 14, reassuring them that there are many rooms, he has it all taken care of, and he promises them the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, that if they abide in him, then they will bear much fruit, fruit that will last. And chapter 16, there's trouble in this world, but do not fear, I have overcome the world. So he gives them all kinds of instructions, reassurances, comfort, encouragement, wisdom, promises in those chapters. And then we get to chapter 17. And one of the key things about success of the early church, but I don't think that's quite the right word, for the impact, for the effectiveness, for the world-changing, world-enlightening impact of the early church, for its the fact that its light shone so brightly, for the fact that it became a city on a hill, the fact that they became a yeast that leavened the whole dough, the fact that they spread, the fact that they made the name of Jesus known so rapidly in the first century, all of what God did through them to express his love and reveal his kingdom, all of that was at least in part due to the 3 years that Jesus had with his disciples, and that summary in chapters 13 to 16, and then the prayer. Now, we don't have time today to study all the way through John chapter 17. I'm not going to try and do that, but I would like to pull out one thought or one section of that amazing prayer and share a few thoughts with you and see what you think and how this might help you, and as I'm recording this, help me to be reminded and convinced that I am well prepared. I am prepared enough for what God has in mind for me. And prayer is a key element of that. The prayer that Jesus made for the world, for himself, and for his followers. So he says this in John 17, verses 13 to 19. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So we see in this part of the prayer that Jesus knows that he has been sent and that he is now sending them. And what is he sending them to do? To make known the truth about eternal life. That eternal life is to know the Father. And that access comes through Jesus. And that healing comes through him. And there is joy available. And so they're being sent. They have a purpose. They have a mission. Both to witness to the love and the truth of God. And to help people be saved. And to express what it means to live the kingdom life and the beauty of the kingdom in this world so that people can know that it's available and that it's wonderful and that it's worth any sacrifice. They are prepared. He is sending them. Jesus is only going to send those who are adequately prepared. Think about it. It would be cruel of Jesus to send those who had not been adequately prepared. In fact, surely he couldn't do it. He couldn't send unprepared or underprepared people. Yes, he would send weak people. Yes, he would send people who could not do this without him. But he wouldn't send them unprepared, under-resourced. He couldn't do it. Jesus loved his followers. He's not going to do that. He couldn't do it. And what is the key element of the preparation? At least in this context, it's prayer. I have prayed for them. I have prayed for them. And as you go through John 17, you'll see this again and again, that they have been prepared by the prayer of Jesus. You'll notice that the evil one is mentioned in John 17 in this prayer. Well, there are several other places in John's Gospel where the evil one or the devil or Satan is mentioned, but in each of those occasions, in John 6, John 8, and twice in John 13, it's about Satan being against Jesus and trying to bring about his death. But once Jesus is removed from the scene, which is going to happen very shortly after this prayer, then, of course, all that activity was going to be directed against his disciples. And that could be a source of fear. And yet, what we see is that Jesus is praying for their protection. He's praying for them to be safe enough to be able to carry out the work he's given them. In other words, they are prepared, they are protected, and now they can go forth. I wonder whether... some of our own doubts and fears, some of my own doubts and fears about whether I am adequate are really a reflection of the fact that I don't understand the power of the prayer of Jesus. If he thought that all he needed to do to protect his followers was to pray for them, that must mean he's got some jolly powerful prayer available. In fact, that he really believes in the power of prayer, that that was enough to prepare and protect his followers for what was to come after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. That then when they went out in Acts 2 and 3 and 4 and they encountered opposition and even martyrdom, Acts chapter 7 with Stephen, and then the challenges that came internally in the church and externally with further persecution and opposition as we go through the book of Acts and we see referenced in the letters, that this prayer would be enough, that the church would survive. More than that, the church would thrive. Indeed, the church would be able to be what he called it to be, and individual followers of Jesus would be able to be what they were called to be, and that it would work. It would work not because these followers of his were completely skilled or had all the tools they needed or were somehow super saints. They were weak. They had their failings. And they certainly had many, many things still to learn, like we all do. But they were as prepared as they needed to be. And certainly God carried on preparing them, you could say, further with the Spirit. But nonetheless, they were ready to take that next step. And maybe that's something I need to be more convinced of, that I am ready for whatever God has in mind for me next. I'm already ready because Jesus has prayed for me. He's given me his Spirit. He dwells within me, John 14, 23. I have the Spirit of Christ. I have his prayers. I have him interceding for me. And that's enough preparation. We spend quite a lot of time thinking about preparation in different areas of our lives, whether we're ready enough for a new job, ready enough to leave home, ready enough to go to university, ready enough to take on a job, ready enough to get married, prepared enough to be a parent, and already we prepared enough for our retirement or wherever we are in life. And that's right to think about being appropriately prepared. But do we think about the fact that the prayers of Jesus mean we are well prepared, fully prepared, adequately prepared for the work that God has in mind for us? You and I, my friends, are fully prepared. We're fully prepared by the one who has all the resources we need. He's prayed for us. Jesus has prayed for us. He's prayed for you and me. Yes, he prayed in that upper room in John 17, but he ever lives to intercede for you and me. And as he prays for me, or as my prayers access the Father's throne room through him, then I am being fully prepared. It's quite a thought. I am as prepared as I need to be for the work God has in mind for me. There's a great comfort in that. I find great solace in this truth. And as I walk back home, having finished this recording, I must tell you, I'm feeling a lot better, even having shared this with you. I'm feeling a lot more prepared for the days ahead, because I have been having some difficult days, not negative days, but just feeling very challenged by some of the things in my life and around me at the moment. And I feel, quite frankly, in myself, underprepared for conversations I think I need to have, underprepared for challenges coming down the line. But when I think about what Jesus has done in praying for me, giving me the Spirit, I realize I'm more prepared than I realize. I think that's true for you as well. You are more prepared than you realize. Jesus has prayed for you. Well, that's something worth reflecting on. I'd love to know what you think about this passage in John 17 and the idea that we are adequately prepared by his prayers. How does that affect your prayer life? How does that affect the way you pray, the way you think about prayer, and your connection with Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit through prayer? I'd love to know what you think. So if you get a chance, drop me a line. It's malcolm@malcolmcox.org on the email. You can find me on Facebook Check out my YouTube channel as well. My website is malcolmcox.org. If you think this is valuable, these thoughts, then do pass it on to a friend. And if you get a chance, leave me a review if you don't mind. That helps the algorithms to pick it up and make it known elsewhere. And if you have any other thoughts about topics you'd like to see me cover in these podcasts, then please do let me know. And in the meantime, I hope you're staying well away from this nasty COVID-19 virus that we're still suffering from globally at the moment, as of the day of recording. I hope you're staying safe and well, and those you love as well. Let's pray for each other. We certainly need it right now. Anyway, until the next time, I pray that you have a really good day today, and that you feel fully prepared by the prayers of Jesus and by his presence for whatever God has in mind for you today. Until the next time, take care and God bless.